Seems to be Monday again. That's what I see and that's what I hear. I actually didn't set my clocks properly. I don't like... why don't they... They keep promising. Every time they say, well, we're going to get rid of daylight savings time. You hear that often with every new administration. It never happens. I don't know who's pushing the agenda, but they don't obviously want it to happen. Or it common sense, it would have happened a long time ago. Okay, a couple quick notes. This Trump ballroom thing, and he said yesterday, at least I saw a video yesterday, I don't want it named after me. Oh, please. Please. He's raised now not $250 million. It's not counting any of the money we're raising here. It's all free. The American taxpayer will pay nothing. He's now raised not $250 but $350 million. It looks like Louis XIV, the artist concept of it. He has something similar, but in a minor scale, at Mar-a-Lago. And actually, that one looks better. The ceiling's darker. The ceiling in the renditions I've seen is all white, and it looks like a blimp hangar. You know how big the White House is? About 55,000 square feet. How big will the Trump ballroom be? Over 90,000 square feet. Almost double the size of the entire White House edifice. That's ridiculous. And he's going to get away with it. So here we go. I knew when he promised a UFC fight card to be held at the White House next year, this was, I don't know, 6, 8, 9 months ago, that things were in the works. And this is so they can cram 1,000 people into that room and hold any kind of event you can imagine. And I'm sure he promised his buddy Dana White with UFC that, yeah, we'll put you in there. We're going to put you right in there. Coming from the White House live, pay-per-view, we'll make tens of millions of dollars. He probably will. It's pretty disgusting, eh? Now, when you think about $350 million, that's quite a bit of money. But when you really line it up side by side with what this country has fed into the machine called Zelensky's Ukraine to kill Russians, we're pushing $400 billion now. Let that sink in. It was $350 billion for a long, long time, and no one's updating it, so I am. We're getting close to $400 billion. And that's not just hardware. That's intel services, targeting, training, all kinds of things. When you put a value on it, it goes. So we're close to $400 billion to Ukraine. Are we giving anything to America like that, to Americans? Trump today announced no more food stamps as of November 1st. He's cutting off the SNAP program with this so-called Schumer shutdown. It's not Schumer, it's the whole government. These bastards don't care about this country at all, and I hope it's finally getting to be a very clear issue to you newcomers. I know you longtime listeners get it. 42 million Americans, that's 12% of the population, rely on food stamps to survive. 42 million, 12%. That's plenty of people to ignite food rioting, wholesale theft, flash mobs breaking into stores. You're going to see it. All caused by this alleged government. We don't need this government. We don't need anything like this government. Best thing that could happen to this country would be for this government to go away. Federal workers are now flocking to D.C. food bank as they miss first full paycheck of shutdown. I'm reading a headline here, NBC. So federal workers are going to at least one food bank in the District of Columbia because their paychecks are gone. Now, let's tag one more thing onto this ugly little procession. Trump, and I've explained this clearly, bailed out Argentina, and Milei won a second term. Trump gave $40 billion to bail out Argentina, and Milei wins again. Oh, excuse me, Milikovsky, the same last name as Netanyahu's family before they changed it. They might be related. I'm certainly sure that they're related how about geopolitical theology? How's that? Because Milei converted to Judaism, I think it was less than a week before the election, and he won. And then he went off on his first official state visit to Brooklyn, New York, to pray at Rabbi Menachem Schneerson's crypt at the Lubavitcher headquarters. I'm sure there were more than a few Argentinians saying, what the hell is he doing? Well, they know now. And Trump bailed out a Jewish head of state because he was probably told to by Israel and its movers and shakers, and you know who the most wicked one of all is, Milikovsky, told Trump, who might have created a future news. I think he possibly actually converted to Judaism. I think that's possible. A lot of people say he did. I don't know that he has, but what a story that'll be if it's ever released. Okay, you get it. So we're bailing out Argentina and its Jewish government, but we're doing nothing for Americans, 41 million of them, who need food stamps to eat. Is this, and I know it's so-called private money. How about that, putting that so-called private money into this country? We got the ballroom. Okay, that's great. $20 billion to Argentina when it could have gone here. We have, our infrastructure is falling apart. I think most of you know that. It's literally falling apart. And these nuclear power plants we have, there's 101 reactors total in all the plants. I forget how many plants there are altogether, but there are about 100 reactors. They're all being given extensions to continue producing electricity way beyond their shelf life. We are headed toward another nuclear problem. Big problem. All right, that's enough. Let's see what Don Jeffries has to say about some of these things and anything else he'd like to talk about tonight. Welcome back, Donald. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing? These continuing resolutions, they always baffle me. First of all, you didn't really start hearing about them until maybe, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago at the most. And I don't quite understand how they work, because as you mentioned, somehow, where did they find the money to bail out Argentina? Why wasn't that part of a resolution? And where did they find the money? I'm sure...
Trump is a dictator. He's a dictator. He doesn't care. They declare it to be in existence, Don, and there it goes. Yeah. They manifest it, and it's there, and it's spent.
The whole point, we know they create money out of thin air, but the whole point is supposedly people aren't going to get food stamps, they're not going to get all the few benefits that we have in government because of the continuing resolution. But nothing stops aid to Israel. Nothing is stopping the payments to Ukraine.
Never will.
Make that make sense to me. We had one politician say, how does this work? So that none of that stuff is in the budget? The continuing resolution is for the budget. So that's off budget? How does that work? But again, this is when you talked about the infrastructure. Whenever anybody has talked about doing anything about roads or bridges or certainly power grids that are outdated, they always say, well, who's going to pay for it? We'll have to raise the gas tax. Why? Why? This Ukraine thing, how many years ago was that? That wasn't built into the budget before then.
3.5.
And yet we've had many billions we sent there. So how did you fit that in?
Almost 400 billion. Billion. 400 billion. We could have rebuilt our whole entire infrastructure for that.
Yeah. So that's a new added expense. No one saw it coming. So why doesn't that need a gas tax to be raised? I mean, none of this makes any sense. So that's why, you know, we're crying out for a real populist. And of course, Trump, you know, trotted some populist ideas out there, but of course he never really did anything. But a real populist would be going nuts over this, and they would say how, especially the contrast between people are going to have food stamps cut off. I think, because what happens all the time in these continuing resolutions, at the very last minute they make a deal. So I have to think they'll make a deal before this gets cut off. But who knows? I don't predict things. But no, somebody should contrast. Okay, you know, you're going to cut off food stamps to American citizens who need it, and yet you just gave Argentinian farmers this money. Why? How does that work? I mean, that's not.
Well,
that's clearly,
yeah, Trump would say, well, we're getting it back in beef, so don't worry. Americans will be able to afford their beef. American beef farmers are raising cattle and charging way too much money for it. So, okay. That's what he's saying.
And again, that contradicts his entire thing about trying to bring back American industry. Because what are you trying to outsource the beef industry now? I mean, this is unbelievable, the stuff that this guy is doing. As I said, he took a dark turn when he blew up at that question about Epstein, and he hasn't looked back. I mean, he is just kind of, like a villain now. The ridiculous ballroom thing, which doesn't seem to make any sense. And
It's double the size of the White House. It's a monstrous thing. It's huge. It's ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous. But again, this is what has happened. His personality, the entire MAGA movement, he's been able to convince his loyal supporters, and I don't know how many millions of them are left, but there's too many, that whenever things like this, when he gets a bigger ballroom, when he gets a bigger crowd at a rally, when he won all the swing states, that, things that don't matter to anybody's lives, he's convinced them that that's winning, that they won. So he'll be able to convince a good number of them that by getting the biggest, best, brightest ballroom ever built, that's winning. That's what they've accepted as winning. Even you mentioned Daley Savings Times earlier. He signed an executive order when he first came into office ending that. I mean, if we can't get leaders to do something, nobody. If you took a public referendum on Daley Savings Times, 99% of the people would be against it. Nobody. Who would support that? It's ridiculous. One of FDR's dumb ideas that was supposed to help farmers. Just keep the country on daylight savings time all the time. Why wouldn't you want an extra hour of daylight? So it's very simple to do, and he signed an order for. And I knew it wouldn't happen, because I've been telling people, well, let's see if he gets that accomplished. Well, obviously he didn't, and he won't say anything about it. His supporters won't say anything about it. So did a federal judge overturn that, too? I mean, the whole thing is just... It makes you so disillusioned to know that something at that level, I mean, you can't get much more insignificant, really, in the big picture than daylight savings time. But it's a little annoyance that is clearly unpopular with the people. Should be a very simple thing to do. So it just shows, again, how broken our supposedly representative form of government is, that we can't even get that done. Just like we can't even get the roads repaired. We can't even get the power grids updated, the bridges, and all the stuff we need. The infrastructure hasn't been touched since the 1960s, really, over 60 years. And Trump stopped talking about that. But he's bragging about getting the ballroom built. Okay, that's not quite the same thing. The people aren't, the only people that are going to benefit from a huge ballroom are whatever celebrities you invite to the USC fight or whatever. The average people are not going to benefit from that. But if you get the roads and bridges built, the infrastructure upgraded to where we have better cables everywhere, we have better power, the things that the sensors we've been importing from China, nonsensically, when we have these power grids rebuilt, and when we do something to have a faster internet, I've talked about this before, I used to work with a guy from the Dominican Republic years ago, and he used to just shake his head when he'd go to his country for a vacation and come back, he'd say how much faster the internet was in the Dominican Republic. And when I wrote Survival of the Richest, I talked about that, about how slow America's internet is in comparison to other countries. Why? Why should that be? Why would Americans be satisfied with that? But you tell them that and they give you a blank look. I don't understand. They have such low expectations. Now, the only people that are left supporting Trump is the cult of personality, that are sold on his personality, that like to hear him brag.
They're not supporting him on any factual ground that I can see.
What can you support him on? There's nothing, because he's not doing it. But he, and I still get people on my Substack. I get, hundreds of comments and everything I write, and I still got a few kind of, not many, but there's still some Trump loyalists there that are upset when I criticize them and still are trying to defend
him.
Wow.
Well, those people are not living in reality. To hell with them. You can't help
them. I think it's hard for them to accept the fact that, what did Mark Twain say, it's easier to fool someone than to get them to admit they've been fooled. And,
That's true. Ego. Yeah, you got it. He got it.
I voted for him, too. And, I tell the people still, look, if he actually does something good, I'll be the first to credit him. But I just don't see him doing it. At this point, what are the odds he's ever going to do that? You, pardoning the January 6th people, that was good. It was belated, 4 years too late. Some of these people had to stay in prison for 4 years and not all due process. But, okay, he did do the right thing eventually. But everything else, I don't know what he did. He signed a bunch of executive orders that some of them are good, banning birthright citizenship, which should have been done the first term. But the courts just
stuck. You know what happened? Tell our listeners what happened.
Yeah, well, they go to a federal court, and because of judicial review, and I've talked about that before, most people don't understand. Conservatives support judicial review just like liberals do, because it's basically representative government always comes down in judicial review to what judge you get in front of. So that judge holds the will of the people in his hands. So something, Trump signs an executive order that it makes sense to ban birthright citizenship. Federal judge says nope. And this goes back to Proposition 187, I think it was, in California back in the early 90s, that overwhelmingly voted against denying government benefits to illegal immigrants, which should be the most common sense thing in the world, went to a federal judge. Federal judge says nope. Throw it out. So those millions of people that voted for that, their will was thwarted by judicial. Nobody talks about it.
There was one decision that came down, the one you mentioned, and then I have heard nothing since then. Nothing. I've seen nothing about it. Drop the baby here, instant citizenship. I've heard nothing else about it. Nothing.
No, and it's so easy. I would support him if he made speeches and said, look, I tried to do this, I tried to do that, but nothing I could do because these federal judges get it, because we have this, our system is being spoiled by this judicial review, which it went back to Jefferson's time. Jefferson was the last one to protest it until me, I think, where, he was in a big battle about it, saying this is not what the founders intended. We didn't intend for some judge somewhere to interpret a law or interpret the kind, and that's what they do. They interpret every law now. And so if you have judges, especially ones that are appointed by Obama or Clinton, the most awful judges on earth, of course they're going to throw out anything that makes any sense. So I don't know how you get anything done, but the conservatives have to start talking out against it, but they don't. Instead, their goal is to try to stack the courts with their kind of judges that they think will rule in their favor, and it doesn't work that way typically, because very few judges are really conservative. Most of them all have a liberal bent. Lots of Trump's appointments have been that way.
Why is that? Why is that reflex always to the left socialist side of the ledger? It's a reflex. I'm not saying it's always over there, but there's a reflex.
It is, and there's not too many Clarence Thomases or... what's the other? It could be a good Supreme Court judge.
Name one other. No, there's only one.
There's the kind of name escapes me. There's another Supreme Court justice that's good. It goes back to Bush. So he made at least a couple good appointments. But, the judiciary has way too much power. And Congress needs to legislate. They need to completely take back the power. Because the legislative branch is by far the weakest branch of the three. They're supposed to be separate and equal. The Congress is so far beneath the imperial presidency and especially the imperial judiciary, which has existed no matter what. Administrations come and go, and some presidents are more active than others. But the Congress is always weak. They're always weak. They don't. They should pass something along the lines of, referendums cannot be overturned by a judge, or things like that. The certain laws cannot be overturned by that. That's where you start the ball rolling. But the problem is, it's probably too late for referendums now. Certainly for national referendums, because
you're not going to see it. You won't see it. You're right. Now it's the control, Don, is so thorough now and so penetrating and so complete. It's consummate, and no one's going to be able to shake it. It's just I don't see it. They own us. They control us. They've brainwashed us. They programmed the people to stare and be obedient. That's what they do.
Well, there's no question about it. So it's a bleak situation, but I do think more people are. That Trump has had the best thing that about the Trump phenomenon is that it did wake a lot of people up. Now it also crushed a lot of people once they realized he was fake. But it woke a lot of people up to the corruption. I don't know what that means, other than maybe less people will vote, which is kind of a sad thing, but, I mean, it's a commentary on we don't have any trust in our electoral system. I mean, here in Virginia, we've got an election coming up. We have horrible candidates for governor. I mean, the Democrats are probably going to win. Spamberger, and she's just awful. She was in Congress.
She's just how did these people get in positions like that of actually even running for a serious office when they're so incompetent, so stupid, so politically unfit? I don't get it.
And again, a real candidate could eat these people alive, but they won't allow real candidates against them. The Republican Party, in most cases, these awful Democrats, you have the Republican Party that always will nominate somebody bad and incompetent, so they can't make the effective points. Think back to before Trump, what the Republican Party was doing. I mean, look at the horrible nominees they had. They're going back to Bob Dole and Mitt Romney and John McCainiac. I mean, these are the worst people, and they were completely empty suits. They had no way to effectively argue with the Democrats because they agreed with them on everything. That's why Trump was such a breath of fresh air, and in terms of his rhetoric. They're already saying, well, okay, this guy's saying a lot of the stuff we said. That's why it's so disappointing. But it's predictable. But it's also, I think, it causes some kind of optimism that more people are awake now than ever. Still not enough. There's still more people that are asleep. But more and more people are waking up. And more people will wake up even further from this Trump thing. And they'll probably just start saying, oh, politics is futile, and we probably the answer, I think, lies in trying to start our own local societies. I mean, really, the idea we really should do is unplug from the grid, but that's easier said than done, because it's not easy to do this, especially if you have a family, because odds are you're going to be the only one in the family who wants to do it, so it's not going to be a family decision. I mean, the vast majority of women are not going to want to unplug from the grid. There's no way. And so if you can do it, if you got enough people, then you would have the government would not want us to have our own society. They would be so upset that they couldn't control it, so they would come and instantly try to shut it down or put controls on it or something. That's the problem with the internet. I said all along is that the government was chomping at the bit that they had this thing out there, this form of communication, for a couple decades that was pretty much free and unfettered, where you could say anything you wanted. And people like me could get the whatever following I have just by writing my thoughts down on a blog without being filtered by some talking head or the FDA deciding that whether it's acceptable. Of course, they would decide everything I write is not acceptable. But there's so many people out there like me that can write, give alternative views, interpret things in an alternative way, and get an audience. They hate that. They don't want that, and so they're eventually going to try to get to us because they don't want that at all. But they started with social media, and they shadow banned a bunch of us, and they they're controlling that Discord there. But for a couple decades, they must have been incredibly frustrated, because on television they can control it completely, radio they can control it completely, movies they can control it completely, and print media. But here, wow, they couldn't do it, but they got around that by you know, getting into YouTube, where a lot of those great videos were that interpreted things impressively. And now you see what YouTube is. Or, I mean, I'm still on YouTube,
YouTube is a monster on the midway. It's huge. Huge.
Yeah, no, if it even went back to what it was 10 years ago, it would be fantastic. Because you could get almost everything on YouTube, and especially things like Sandy Hook and Boston bombing and all that. You had tons of really impressive videos on that, where you had citizen journalists doing great work.
No more.
Not allowed now. No, you're still some good people, but and then you kind of are suspect of anybody that has a YouTube. I mean, I still have a YouTube account, but my hands are tied. I just use it to live stream my podcast every Friday, because if I leave it up almost every show, but certainly if I mention any kind of medical talk, it gets taken down right away, and my channel gets suspended. Every time.
Medical talk? What's the deal? You can't say take two aspirin for a headache? They shut you down?
No, if you mention COVID at all, it's medical
misinformation.
Or vaccines.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so COVID is instant dismissal. You're out.
Yeah, it's because you can talk. There's a lot of there's a lot of stuff on YouTube that talk pretty openly about Jewish power and the Holocaust, even. Oh, anything, really. You can talk about black fatigue and all that, but you cannot talk about that. Well, Sandy Hook is probably hard to talk about now because of Alex Jones and things, but you can't talk about COVID or anything. If you start talking about that, it's medical misinformation. I have to watch when I have a guest that's going to talk about that. I know I have to take the video down right afterwards because the algorithm is going to catch it, and I don't know why that is. But
is it three strikes and you're out still? Is that the way it works?
It's three strikes you're out, but it took me, because I got three strikes at one point, but then I appealed it, and somehow they let me keep it up. But I don't really care about being on YouTube. I try to tell people to find my Rumble channel at Author Jeffries, because I'm trying to build that up, but still hardly anybody over there, but because I don't like what YouTube does, but it gives me a much better streaming platform. I draw a lot more people there. So I want to use it for that, but I don't care about it beyond that. But it's just wrong that, you know, the playing field is a level. So some people can use these platforms and others can't. And, you know, that's not, it's because we talked about this before. I mean, we could, you know, you and me and lots of other people could easily compete with the big names in this business. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, some of them doing good work. In the alt media, Joe Rogan certainly. But we don't have the same. We can't get the same platforms, and it's
No. That'll never happen. No, I was derailed 25 years ago. Whatever.
Right.
No. Those doors are all closed.
Yeah,
so we build the best audience we could ever have because the people who listen and who read your work care. Those are the best.
Well, they are. I mean, people. When you read my Substack, people enjoy the comments as much as my article. I mean, there's some very erudite people that comment that are that know what's going on and make some points that I don't make when I'm writing. And plus, a lot of them they get personal because I'm pretty much an open book. So people know a lot about my life. So a lot of them open up, and that's where I really started seeing how real this other half of America is. There's, you talked about cutting out food stamps. There's so many people, just from the people that read my Substack alone, that are leading lives of quiet desperation
it's true. Quiet desperation is so common now. Very few people in this country understand. It's a shameful thing to talk about. It's an embarrassing thing to admit. It makes it seem like, well, I can't take care of my own family financially. I'm incompetent. I'm a failure. There are a lot of psychological issues, but that's not true. These people truly are victims. They are victimized by a system that doesn't give a damn about them. It's not their fault.
Exactly. Now the system is rigged. The economy is rigged. And, you know, when you have people working two and three jobs, I mean, that idiot George Bush, George W. Bush exemplified that when he, if you remember, he had a woman that visited the White House during, and he was so stupid he literally didn't understand. She was complaining about having to work three jobs, and he thought it was a great thing. Isn't that amazing? Three jobs. Only in America. American engineer. He thought it was a great accomplishment. It's like, wow. You know, but that's the... only in America do you do those things, and that's the dark side of capitalism. That's why so many young people are, as Tucker Carlson said, you know, to some of the leftists he's had on his show, you know, you have to offer something to young people. You have to make this capitalism, make it appear attractive. How are they going to be attracted to it? They go to any job, unless they're in that top 20% that gets to go to a good college and can afford it and gets a degree that's worth something. So they get a job. Then, yeah, maybe the system works for them. But all the other people, even if they get a college degree and they're paying a student loan off, it's going to get them the kind of job that used to go to high school graduates when I was young. I've seen a lot of this. I said, wow, you have to have a high school, college degree?
Yeah.
And that's what they do. And it's you're disposable, and there's no loyalty to you. There's fewer benefits. I had so many more benefits back in the 1980s, whatever. I remember I used to show some of the newcomers there at the data center where I worked at. We had an old employee handbook that had a list of all the benefits we had. And they were just amazed. I said, yeah, I'd forgotten about some of them. And they chipped away at them every year. And I'm sure my employer wasn't that different from others. And, you know, it's eventually got to where they gave you as few benefits as they could. And I don't know what they do now, but I know they like to, they don't want to give you anything. They don't want to pay you much. Yearly raises. We used to get two raises every year, cost of living raise and a merit increase. And that was standard back then. Not now. Now you're lucky if you get any kind of raise. Obviously, the cost of living is going up dramatically. And so it's just, you just do the math. People cannot make it on the kind of wages they're paying. So you can't sell capitalism. As I said, this is a system, our form of capitalism, crony capitalism, is a bad deal for 80% of the population. How are you going to sell that to young people? Because that's what they said, leading lives of quiet desperation. 70-some percent of them living paycheck to paycheck. 70-some percent of them not even having $500 in savings in the bank. How is that an alternative to somebody that comes, some wide-eyed socialist that comes up and says, you know what, I'm going to give you a UBI. A universal basic income. Well, what young person is not going to take that? Because you're not offering them anything. And it's not like you can go there and maybe as in the past you could work your way up. If you work hard, that's not the case now. You have with affirmative action and all the strings are in place. Visa workers. There's so limited opportunities to rise in the workplace, and the raises are so small. Even when you do rise. That it's very hard to have any kind of upward mobility. But if you tell a person, okay, I'm going to give you this much amount of money, guaranteed, universal basic income, and we've beaten the pride out of young people. That most of them don't have any desire to have families. First of all, because most of the women don't want families and they don't want to get married and or have children. So essentially, these guys, they just feel, okay, you know. Seems like a pretty good deal to me. I'll get enough money where I can maybe pay my parents a little bit of rent to live in their basement, play all the video games I want. To them, that's the new kind of goal.
One of the big uses, and it's a benchmark upon which I've seen a lot of these new AI releases or drops measured by, is how fast they can code and program. But they're not coding and programming necessarily for big business. They're creating video games. Video games are huge out there now. Gaming, mm-hmm. gaming. And mm-hmm. I didn't know this. And what a waste of an incredible tool. Video games are still playing Pong, but plus 35 or 40 years, right? It's Mega Pong now. But that's what it is. And they're using AI to create it. Wow.
Yeah, and life is so, I wouldn't say boring, but the video game experience is going to give the average young person way more gratification than life does. Just like AI.
What a tragedy.
It
the
is,
meaning
it
of life is to get some endorphin dump
yep.
from winning or doing well at a video game.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
talk about running from reality.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know too many people. I know there's lots more out there. Just one in my know. I mean, I know a guy that's he can't get health insurance halfway. He's lost like four of his toes to diabetes. He couldn't get insulin for a long time. He loves video games. He would love going for a universal basic income because there's only so many things he can do now. Plus, he's rebellious, so he's going to question the system, and you know, it's not going to work. There's another guy I know that was living in his car for a while. I'm not sure where he is now, but he has health issues. He can't get insurance. He can't figure it. The system is so bad about in terms of applying for disability or stuff like that. They make it so hard. The reason why, you know, I was my brother's advocate, and I was able, the only reason he got disability and great housing and stuff was because I did it for him. But most families don't have somebody like me that's willing to do that because you got to put in a lot of hours for it. And most of these guys I know, they don't have anybody that cares enough about them in their family. Their families usually abandon them. And there's untold numbers out there like that. And it's just tragic because their lives have been wasted. You don't know what's going to happen to these people. And then you have people at the other end of the spectrum that come from upper middle class families that can afford to send them to nice colleges, and they're smart enough to major in the right things. They're not going to major in folk singing or something like that, and they end up getting good jobs. I talked about that in Survival of the Richest, how just a microscopic few of these college graduates go to the Ivy League universities, and they all come from the upper class. They all come from that top quadrant, the richest, quarter of Americans, and that's why there's so little upper mobility, other than like athletes and to some degree entertainers. But we've sold this generation down the river, and what's so sad and what makes it so hard now is because of media, because of the internet. All of these guys, all these young people, their dream is to be some kind of an influencer. It's to be some kind of a figure on the internet.
When we were kids, what was the big thing? The big thing was to be a writer, to publish a book.
Sure.
That was big.
Sure.
Poetry minor aspect of that. And then it got to be, there's always show business. You want to be an influencer, you become an actor or an actress, even if you're doing bit parts, whatever. That's cool. All right, that was a big deal. And then it went from that to when the internet showed up, everything changed. And now it is where all of you know where it is, being an influencer. You're an instant celebrity. And this thing about women not wanting to have children and families, and yet they all, in many cases, they all dress sexily, seductively. That's to attract males, but the bigger picture is to attract males to reproduce the species. They don't follow through. So what are we doing
casual,
here?
Yeah, they want casual sex, and it's just, and that's why so many women still support abortion rights because they know that they want to have a lot of casual sex, and that goes back to my generation. It's gotten worse, but it's. Like my idea, I never wanted to be anything more than a writer. I mean, I wanted to be a writer so much, but I also I wanted to write different things. So I wrote a lot of songs. I dreamed of being a rock star or singer songwriter, like some people are out. But I recognized that if you wanted to do that, you looked at the people and you realized you had to hit some kind of standard. You saw the Jackson Browns and the Bob Dylans and Elvis Costello's, people that I loved. You recognize, these people are special. So if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to be able to sound like them. I'm going to have to be able to create words and music like them. So you know what the standard was today, and it was obviously the odds were very much against it. Now, for influencers, you look at a lot of these influencers, and they don't have any ability. It's like pop art. They're not, you're not looking at it. You're looking at like a canvas that's just people splashed paint on it. Well, who couldn't do that? It's the same thing with these influencers. They don't have any ability. They just somehow become famous for being famous. And so I can see why all those young people have these unrealistic dreams, because why wouldn't they? All of them certainly probably have as much talent as most of these influencers do. Look at that. I don't know what she's doing now, but I think she became wealthy off it. There was a girl, I think she was 13 years old, about a while back, probably the early 2000s, where she made a video, and I don't know what the secret is of a video going viral. God, I'd love to know what it is. But it's a stupid video. I mean, she was a cute kid, kind of, but cast me outside. She kept saying this stupid, cast me outside. And she was overnight incredibly famous. She was on, Dr. Phil and all these shows. And I think she ended up getting the show on Nickelodeon for nothing. She was a supreme no talent. She couldn't sing. She said,
the more talent, the bigger the penalty. You don't want to have talent. I think what they've done is successfully almost inverted the concept of talent and competence to a degree. The less you have, the more in demand you are. I've seen it. I've seen some of these influencers who are not only stupid, but they can't speak well. They look like they were put together. Somebody had a bad day when they assembled them. They look like there's parts missing. It's weird. And yet they're
right.
I don't know.
That's why I say, especially the modern ones, where because people think these celebrities, I don't even understand what they do. Like I said, in the old days, the music industry, well, you had to be able to sing. A lot of the times you could write music too, play an instrument, but at least sing. And acting, well, you had to have some ability, usually. Now you don't have to have anything. And it's a lot of it is DEI, and a lot of it are the black entertainers that are they're just elevating any of them that have zero talent. We're not talking Smokey Robinson and Louis Armstrong anymore. These are incredibly untalented individuals, but they're being pushed on us, and they're more annoying than uplifting. But I understand why the young people, maybe they look at that and say, well, I can do better than them. They look some like ridiculous Leslie Jones or something, that horrific looking black comedian allegedly she's monstrously unfunny. But she was on Saturday Night Live, been in movies, so any young blacker would look
there
at
you
that
go.
And say, what?
Monstrously unfunny, I like that. No, they don't have a funny ounce in their body. They don't. No. They don't understand humor.
No, so if I'm a young black girl and I'm looking at that, I say, well, God, I can do better than that. And they could. So I can understand why, and maybe that's why, as you said, maybe that's why they promote the least talented, because they want to keep those unrealistic dreams alive. Because that's what happens, especially in the hood, where you don't have like the 20% or whatever as you do in like white neighborhoods, where that kind of really put their mill to the grindstone and come from families that can help them with their education and go ahead and go to a good college and get the right kind of degree or get the right kind of training for something. In those neighborhoods, it's all, I'm going to be in the NFL, I'm going to be in the NBA, I'm going to be a big rapper. And again, what does it even mean to rap? I don't know a good rapper from a bad rapper. To me, they all are just, spouting Ebonics and kind of dancing around.
Shame on you. Come on.
No, I don't. To me, I don't know good rap from bad rap, but I don't know how you would assess it. But again, if I'm a young black kid, I'd say I can do better than that, and you probably can. So I think it keeps those unrealistic dreams alive, and that's probably what they want, because there's no upper mobility for most people anymore, and they're just hiding the fact that the middle class is being completely squeezed out. My generation is the last generation that's going to have a somewhat not even thriving, but a decent sized middle class, but it's being squeezed out. It's being squeezed out, and as Ross Perot said, we're going to be the first generation in history to have children who have a lower standard of living than us, and that's definitely come to pass.
Well, and a lower functional IQ.
Oh yeah, well that's been, how many decades has that been going on, where it's been dropping every decade?
That's right.
And again,
speaking of dropping, our national birth rate is dropping for the first time in history. And that's part of the COVID death shot. The death vax is taking its toll already. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
And we're not going to have enough babies to overcome it. So the first time in history, women age 30, age 30 year old women are there are less of them that have children. I mean, there are less of them that have children than don't have children. So more of them don't have children. It's never happened before in history. Age 30, and that's you're going to see more of that because you look at those public. I said, you know, I've done shows on this where there's such a dichotomy between what young males want and what young females want. If you look at like public opinion polls, they'll ask these questions to young guys and young girls about what's most important to you. And marriage and having children and having a family is still pretty high up on the priorities list for guys. It's way down the list for women, really low. And you can't, how do you get together on that? The same way with the voting patterns. We talked about that before, how if you just looked at female voting, every state in the union would be blue. And if it's just male voting, every state in the union would be red. And again, I know there are cosmetic differences. I'm not saying that, you know, the red side is that much better, but those are cultural differences. And how do you overcome that? That's never happened before. And that's where we're at. You know, we have a cultural war. And that's why I love talking to these young people. I had Susan Olson, you know, my friend that played Cindy Brady in The Brady Bunch. She's on my show many times. And she came on with her 29-year-old son a couple weeks ago on my show. And it was great, you know, because he related to the Substack article I wrote about women today. And he could really relate to it. So he wanted to come on the show. So it was cool, you know, hearing from somebody his age about what they're facing now. Because, you know, he's heard stories from his mom, and I was telling him more about how different it was. I don't even know if they have parties anymore. The stuff that, you know, used to, I'm not saying they were great. Some bad things happened to those parties, but it was a lot easier to meet people back then. You could, you know, if you worked with someone, I mean, I met every girl I ever met was on the job or through the job somehow. I couldn't do that today because I'd be afraid to talk to them. They could report me to HR for harassment. They couldn't do that back then. And, you know, that's a huge change. And I doubt people just don't understand that. But we ought to be about bringing people together, but we're not. You know, it's Child Protective Services. All of that stuff exists to break up families. I've never
communist,
heard of a case.
Communist butchers. Communist family butchers.
Yes. I've never heard of one case, and I've had lots of people on my show that were victims of Child Protective Services taking their kids, messing with them.
Oh, no, I could tell you my own story anyway.
Yeah.
Another time. Look,
but, so it's,
if you get reported to HR for coming on to a woman at work, right? A husband,
mm-hmm.
flirting.
Right.
That can happen and does. If you don't respond and flirt with a woman who's trying to get you to, you could be reported too.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. And HRs seemingly everywhere are run by women. That just seems to be the case. I don't know why, but it is. So they're always going to take up for the females. I'm thankful that I didn't have to worry about that back in the day. I mean, we had an HR, but I never interacted with it. And but I don't know how. Said I don't know how anybody meets anybody today. But that it doesn't seem like at least the females, they don't want to meet anybody. So again, I don't know how you certainly can't keep the species going. If you don't procreate, if you don't have the relationships, but that doesn't seem to be the goal anymore. So it's a sad situation. And again, I think that UBI is coming. All that stuff's coming because we're.
It has to.
Yeah.
We can't. No.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to sustain any semblance of a population and a country, even a nation state, if you've got 20% who are in the streets.
Right.
And fighting. They didn't. No. There will have to be UBI.
Yep.
No question. None. And all these commercial buildings, they're going to have to turn them over into some kind of living quarters. Big dorm rooms with communal bathrooms at the end of the hall, whatever.
Yeah.
They got a lot of space. There's no reason for anybody to be on the streets.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. It's
well,
we'll bring that. The 19th century DOS houses where people used to pay for a hammock for the night. Maybe they'll do that.
I wouldn't be surprised, but there's plenty of covered shelter for all of America's homeless. There really is. Lots of it.
Yep.
All the commercial real estate that's it's idle now and empty, And some of it has been empty for years, and there's no demand for it, friends. Not with work from home. No, no.
Yep.
Anyway, Don, thank you for the oversight. Always good. Great. Talk to you next week. Be safe.
Okay, Jeff. Take care.
All righty. Mr. Donald Jeffries. Okay, there you go. And as bad as things are now, and I'm sorry to say it, we haven't seen anything yet. Hold on. Be right back.